inside. The shutters were drawn and the doors were closed all day long. It looked just as if everyone were asleep or away from home. The narrow street of high houses where he lived was so situated that from morning till night the sun beat down on it, unbearably. To this young and clever scholar from the colder north, it felt as if he were sitting in a blazing hot oven. It exhausted him so that he became very thin, and even his shadow shrank much smaller than it had been at home. Only in the evenings, after sundown, did the man and his shadow begin to recover. This was really a joy to see. As soon as a candle was brought into the room, the shadow had to stretch itself out to get its strength back. It stretched up to the wall, yes, even along the ceiling, so tall did it grow. To stretch himself, the scholar went out on the balcony. As soon as the stars came out in the beautifully clear sky, he felt as if he had come back to life. In warm countries, each window has a balcony, and in all the balconies up and down the street, people came out to breathe the fresh air that one needs, even if one is already a fine mahogany brown. Both up above and down below, things became lively. Tailors, shoemakers, everybody moved out in the street. Chairs and tables were brought out, and candles were lighted. Yes, candles, by the thousand. One man talked, another sang, people strolled about, carriages drove by, and donkeys trotted along, ting-a-ling-a-ling, for their harness had bells on it. There were church bells, ringing, hymn-singing, and funeral processions. There were boys in the street firing off Roman candles. Oh, yes, it was lively can be down in that street. Only one house was quiet. The one directly across from where the scholarly stranger lived. Yet someone lived there, for flowers on the balcony grew and thrived under that hot sun, which they could not have done unless they were watered. So someone must be watering them, and there must be people in the house. Along in the evening, as a matter of fact, the door across the street was opened, but it was dark inside, at least in the front room. From somewhere in the house, farther back, came the sound of music. The scholarly stranger thought the music was marvelous, but it is quite possible that he only imagined this, for out there in the warm countries he thought everything was marvelous, except the sun. The stranger's landlord said that he didn't know who had rented the house across the street. No one was ever to be seen over there, and as for the music, he found it extremely tiresome. He said, "It's just as if somebody sits there practicing a piece that's beyond him, always the self-same piece. I'll play it right yet," he probably says, but he doesn't, no matter how long he tries. One night the stranger woke up. He slept with the windows on his balcony open, and as the breeze blew his curtain aside, he fancied that a marvelous radiance came from the balcony across the street. The colors of all the flowers were as brilliant as flames. In their midst stood a maiden, slender and lovely. It seemed as if a radiance came from her, too. It actually hurt his eyes, but that was because he had opened them too wide in his sudden awakening. One leap and he was out of bed. Without a sound, he looked out through his curtains, but the maiden was gone. The flowers were no longer radiant, though they bloomed as fresh and fair as usual. The door was ajar, and through it came music so lovely and soft that one could really feel very romantic about it. It was like magic. But who lived there? What entrance did they use? Facing the street, the lower floor of the house was a row of shops, and people couldn't run through them all the time. On another evening, the stranger sat out on his balcony. The candle burned in the room behind him, so naturally his shadow was cast on the wall across the street. Yes, there it sat among the flowers, and when the stranger moved, it moved with him. "I believe my shadow is the only living thing to be seen over there," the scholar thought to himself. "See how he makes himself at home among the flowers? The door stands ajar, and if my shadow were clever, he'd step in, have a look around, and come back to tell me what he had seen." "Yes," he said as a joke, "you ought to make yourself useful. Kindly, step inside." "Well, aren't you going?" He nodded to the shadow, and the shadow nodded back. "Run along now, but be sure to come back." The stranger rose, and his shadow across the street rose with him. The stranger turned around, and his shadow turned too. If anyone had been watching closely, you would have seen the shadow enter the half-open balcony door in the house across the way, at the same instant that the stranger returned to his room and the curtain fell behind him. Next morning, when the scholar went out to take his coffee and read the newspapers, he said, "What's this?" as he came out in the sunshine. "I haven't any shadow." "So it really did go away last night, and it stayed away. Isn't that annoying?" What annoyed him most was not so much the loss of his shadow, but the knowledge that there was already a story about a man without a shadow.